And then it was time for Toronto to drown in the sweet sorrow of the Clash at Demon Head.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? Welcome back. It's another Tuesday. You're, in fact, listening to the Carolyn and Joe Show. My name's Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Hey, and guess what? For you guys who have been paying attention, we have a special guest in the studio today. You might have remembered him from a very special...
Special Christmas episode from a few years ago.
Exactly, a very special Christmas episode.
It's called the Crazy Cooney Christmas.
Crazy Cooney Christmas, KKK. Yes, in fact, Mr. KKK is back.
Mr. KKK. That is a name you're going to want to be known as, Cooney.
It is Cooney.
Yeah, I think that helps out because I'm Asian, so I don't know how that really fits in, but it causes hilarity and confusion at the same time.
Yeah. For certainly, sure.
Man, it does really feel like, now that, we were talking like off the air like a couple minutes ago about how it's actually been like a long time. It feels like not a long time, but it's been actually a long time since you've been on this radio show, online podcast, man.
How many podcasts have you had? Like 800 between this and...
We just celebrated our 121st? Last
121st?
No, our 101st.
This is the 102nd episode, I
believe.
Yeah,
102.
But we've done more before, but we didn't count. And then eventually we started counting.
Yeah.
So you're saying that your count is really off.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's like our 102nd episode since we started counting. I'm sort of proud about that because it's like every number I know, we've done more.
So was the KKK episode before we started counting or after we started?
I believe it was while we were counting. While we were counting.
Okay. I don't know what to say about that.
And was it 2 years ago?
It might have been 2 years ago, so welcome back to the show.
It was around 2 years ago.
No, it was a little bit after 2 years because it's after Christmas now.
That's true. Oh, yeah. Ooh. Now we're getting technical. Do we have any news to share, Carolyn? Any news coming up that we should promote?
I do have an appearance on the first week of January, and I don't know the date, but it's at a bar in D.C., and it's for a podcast called
Podcast?
Me, You, Everybody, or something like that.
Just like Me, You.
You, Me, Everybody, something like
that. Me and You and Everyone
it's
We Know.
Not, it's you, not, everyone. It's not Me, You, and Everyone We Know. It's not Poop Back and Forth Forever, but it's something like Me, You, Everybody, something like that.
So will Miranda July be there to give you a soliloquy about pooping?
No.
I hope so.
I don't think so, but all I know about it is, okay, I'm going to tell you honestly all I know about this appearance. It's live, and it's basically this guy from Chicago who's going to be in D.C. And, like, from what I could tell from the internet, like, I don't know this guy. He basically sent me an email and was like, hey, you want to be on my radio show? And I'm like, first let me research you.
So
as long as it's not in like a basement, in a dimly lit basement, in a bar, yeah. In Northwest DC, then it should be okay.
I researched him. I think his name is like something Weatherby Brandon, I think.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure like who this guy is. But I researched him and apparently he does have established fans in Chicago. And he was like, he sent me links to like newspapers that covered him and stuff. Like he's been covered by the media.
Oh, so this is a big...
So what does he do exactly?
He does this podcast, and it's basically kind of like that NPR show, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, but with crude humor.
So not like the NPR show.
Yeah, but it's like his hosting style. Imagine like that type of style, but like throw in some crude like improv.
So is he like Elliot in the Morning kind of famous, or is he like?
I honestly don't know his level of fame.
Wait, but this is gonna be live, like, but actually in a bar.
It's gonna be live in a bar. Cooney should be there.
When's it taking place again? What's the date?
I don't know. It's like the first week of January.
So like next week.
They have a great draft selection. That's what I'm wondering right now.
Do they?
I think they do. The bar is known for drinking.
Okay. Any bar should be. Hopefully.
I hope so. It's not like this bar is known for the largest amount of people just crying on the counter.
The emo bar.
If I can get away for a second during this today, I could be able to maybe, or maybe like we'll post it on the text of the website.
Yeah.
You know, I'll put it up by then, but I don't have the time or the date and all that, but I know it's in the evening.
It's the first week of January.
First week of January. Which is next week, so I'll figure that out. And I don't even know the name of the bar, but you can find me in DC.
We got
there.
All these details ready to go.
That really narrows it down.
A bar in DC in the first week of January of the new year.
Try to hunt
after
me down.
The New Year's, someone might be at some bar.
But I listened to part of his podcast. I couldn't listen to them all, but he has a guy playing piano, kind of like NPR style. And then he has like 3 or 4 guests. And he has guests during my appearance. And I think he's having a stand-up person. So some comedy and me and some other person.
Do you feel that you have a lot of pressure? Because did he choose you specifically because he was listening to the Carolyn Joe Show?
I have no idea how he knows me. And I never asked. Like, maybe could have kind of wanted to ask. But then I was like, I don't want to find out.
Why didn't you choose me, buddy?
I didn't want to be that person that's like...
Not that was your voice, I just did.
Yeah, I know. For real. Because I talk like that.
Well, I mean, like, I feel like you should have the right to...
Be like, how did you find out about
me? Yeah, be informed about why he wants you on the show.
I do, but I feel like I did have that in my head, but I was kind of going to ask him on the air.
On the show? Yeah, I like doing that.
Why am I here?
I remember Herschel Sanya. What was his name? Herschel, right, in Richmond.
I don't know his last name.
I don't know his last name. I think it's like Sanya. I don't know. But he had like a sort of a nighttime talk show thing, too.
That was weird.
And I was like his first guest. And I was like, so what are you going to do? What are you call? He's like, I'm just going to ask you questions.
You know, I think I might ask before we go on air.
Before?
No, I think you should just...
Just wing it right there?
You should just wing it and then just call him out on it.
It's like, I think I'd like to know why. Like, is it because of me? Or my, you know what I mean?
Well, you got
to
get the ball rolling, so yeah. Might as well just be that question.
Yeah, or like he starts it off. But I've heard from his past episodes, he sometimes asks people questions from like Trivial Pursuit and stuff like that.
What?
So it's going to be like completely random. I think he does that to keep up the improv thing and like just have it be total random. And I don't think I have much time
on
that.
Did he like graduate from like the... Improv Olympics.
Olympics.
Or the Second City.
Or the Groundlings.
But I don't know. I think from what I could tell, it's hard to like really stalk somebody on the internet like that. But from what I could tell, I think he lives in Chicago, but he's like making a transition to DC. So he's been doing DC shows. He only's done a couple.
It's weird, Cooney, because I feel like just these past couple, like 2 years, like I never really used to do a lot of stuff in DC, like event wise, but I feel like we're now finally seeping into the veins of the DC like event life, and it feels weird, man, because I grew up around DC and I never really did. Is that something that when you grew up around DC area, did you go into DC a lot and like get back into that culture?
No, actually, you know what, as weird as it may seem, it's like after 18 I thought, I'm in college age, I'll probably go to DC and hang out more often, yeah. Try to get into that nightlife, and I actually never did. I would rather just go a city completely somewhere else.
A new city, yeah.
Like New York, or like I would love, I went spent a week in Chicago for work, and I was like, oh, this is cool. I'd rather,
You'd rather go out in like a new city.
Yeah,
than the city you live in.
Yeah, there's something about being so close to DC, driving this to DC. That makes the whole nightlife in DC very unattractive to me.
Yeah, and like to me, like the unattractiveness of DC always came from one, people have always been saying, like, don't go to DC, there's a bunch of snobs there. And like, maybe there was a bunch of snobs there that, but it feels like.
Or you just end up partying with like government interns.
It was weird because
yeah, that's not gonna work out for me.
I remember. Brian.
You're like, so Monica.
So Brian, one of the
wait to pull out the late 90s reference there.
That's the only references we have. The late 90s. We always call back.
Pearl Jam called.
I just remember one of my first experiences of actually,
hey,
like,
Arsenio,
I guess...
Arsenio Hall just called and he wants that joke back.
We're just going back and back in time, aren't we?
Yeah, but so my first experience going into, actually, like, going to the clubbing of DC was, Brian Sarvis, one of my cohorts in making films, he had, his girlfriend was living up in the area of DC and he was up here, so they were like, hey, let's go to DC and go to clubs, you know, and Brian... You know, it's not really a club type person, and we're talking like clubs, you know. So, like, yeah, like
okay,
throw your hands up in the air, something like that. And
the system is down.
Yeah, yeah. But what was really interesting about that day is, so Brian knew that he was gonna go and get drunk. You know, he was like, all right, I'm gonna go get drunk. And also, whenever Brian gets drunk, he'll most likely get in some sort of fight. So we had to prepare, like the day leading into driving into DC, we had to prepare. So Brian, being the driver of everyone, knowing that he can't drive, says, I need to teach you to drive my car, Joe. And I was like, so he's teaching me how to drive stick. I've never driven. Do you guys drive stick? Have you ever driven stick
I've
before?
I've never driven stick.
No, will I ever? Never.
So probably. So it's me trying to learn to drive stick in like a you know, manual car in some sort of parking lot, and then it's time to go into DC. Brian gets drunk in a hurry, and then all of a sudden we're in this club. Maybe it's Club H2O, maybe it's some other club, but we're surrounded by...
Was it one of those clubs that have bubbles?
Something like that, but, you
like
know...
Like the foam club?
Now, taking consideration...
Like Mr. Bubbles?
I don't know if I want to go there, especially because I have my iPhone with me. Yeah. I don't want...
No. But taking... So, this is the moment we knew we didn't belong in this sort of, I guess, dance club scene. Is when we looked around and everyone is wearing like hardcore like clothing, like not hardcore like punk clothing, but
like
hardcore
Ed
like
Hardy?
Yeah, like Ed Hardy, no, or like, you know, like the
like a crisp black shirt with like pressed jeans.
We're talking about like when you see like I'm gonna get dangerous lines, but you know when you have like sort of preppy Middle Eastern people. We were surrounded by like preppy
Middle Eastern people.
You know when you have like Indian girls are all talking like Valley girls and stuffy like that, and then their friends. We're surrounded by that, and here I am wearing a Joker shirt.
Oh, you mean like the Turkish mobster's
yes,
nephew
like that.
With
like
the
that.
Faux hawk,
like that, yeah,
and the glitter glitter striped shirt.
I don't know about what's the glitter striped shirt.
Usually, it's like it's indented with the stripe, so it looks like it's glitter stripes.
Oh.
Yeah, I guess so, man.
Is that
those are the people?
You mean the Persian club goers?
Yes, like yes. that. So we were surrounded by them, and they all start. All these guys start trying to hit on like these girls that were like Brian and Brian's girlfriend, his girlfriend, her friend, yeah, his ex girlfriend and her friend.
Was it like constantly being hit on? Like as soon as they
yeah, they're like
in?
Trying to like you know how they try to be all smooth and grab their hand and try to take them right to the dance floor without asking.
So it's not like hey. Sexy lady.
Yeah, so hey, let's, come on, girl, let's go dance.
That's time.
Let's go dance. Oh. And then, so Brian here.
All
Brian's
racism.
Here, Brian's here, like drinking whiskey.
Oh, please don't shoot me. You don't know my address, so please.
So like, yeah. So it was like that. Yeah. So we definitely, that was my experience. We definitely didn't feel like it. And also, it doesn't help that when his girlfriend gets pissed and is like, we're out of here. And then they're starting to dance, and everyone's like. All causing a commotion. All these people are still trying to hit on her. And Brian's like, I'm gonna fucking beat that dude's ass, man. And he's all drunk. And I'm like, fuck, now I gotta take off my coat.
So
we're about to get in a
like,
brawl. And I'm the getaway guy.
But
he's drunk.
But
and I gotta drive stick.
Floor with that other guy that just kind of grabbed her?
No, she's just like,
why don't,
we're her friends.
Why didn't you like start the car and warm up the car and get ready for the getaway?
Because it took us about 45 minutes to find parking. And we're like parked far away. It's DC at nighttime, you know what I mean? And then also, I'm the only one that's not drunk. Because also I'm the getaway guy, and I can't drive the car because it's stick. So Brian has to drive it.
So like you're stuck in hell. Is that what you're insinuating?
Yeah. So that was my first experience of going into the club scene in DC.
How did it end? You gotta have an ending to the story.
It ended with the. It didn't end, but the ending began with her friend getting too drunk and started like just dancing with any guy, and then we're trying to pull her out, and we're trying to... It basically just ended up with us dumping her in Georgetown, just getting the fuck out of there.
So you're saying that you're a terrible friend of a friend.
I'm not even. I'm like, I know her name.
Like, so you're like friend thrice removed, which yeah. doesn't really mean anything.
No.
That's the
question. I thought you had that movie soundtrack CD mix for this particular show.
Oh, that's just in case.
Oh, really? Yeah. That was like a backup?
Yeah.
Because I really wanted to hear like Batman Beyond hardcore techno thumping in my ears while we're talking about this.
We will. Maybe if we make it to episode two.
Oh, nice.
So.
You have to come back next week.
Oh, okay.
Is that something that you've done a lot? Have you been clubbing or to clubs before? Has that been your experience?
I mean, I will in a sense that it would be like 2 o'clock in the morning, and by that time I'll be like blitz drunk, and I will go to a club, and then some weird things will happen, and I don't remember any of it. I would consciously go to a dance club when I'm at my like third or fourth bar, and I've already had like 7 drinks.
Now, would you dance?
Hardly.
What happened? Dance club. You go
mostly,
to the disco.
Mostly, I'm just swaying because I'm drunk. So I'm using the momentum of the amount of liquid alcohol in my belly and using it as fulcrum to just sway back and forth. Like, man, like those birds. Have you seen those birds that would kind of dip into that glass
into
of water?
Into the water?
Yeah, it's the same mechanic. It's the same sort of physical motion.
But into your glass.
Yes. I'm just like, oh, nope. Ah, this is good. I don't know what I'm drinking. Like one time when I was in Las Vegas, I've had my, like, what was it, my like 6th or 7th Jack and Coke.
Yeah.
And I went to a club called The Bank. It's at the Bellagio.
It's
a pretty terrible bar.
It's a pretty terrible club.
I hated it. So anyways, I was drinking another like 3 or 4 Jack and Cokes, and it was my friend, and I was kind of his wingman, and him and his lady friend was getting, you know, kind of busy, and I'm just like, okay, well, this is so not...
You're like, I love being the wingman now.
I'm like, you know, screw this. So I went out of the bank, and then I remember I was almost molested by a cougar.
Oh.
In a good way or a bad way?
In a bad way.
Yeah, it didn't sound very good.
You used the key.
You used the word molested.
When you have
in
molested,
a good way or a bad way, and that's your follow-up question.
Yeah, sometimes I use the word molested. Molested.
When you have molested,
I mean, there's usually only a bad way.
When you have molested followed by a cougar, that doesn't usually imply a positive connotation.
What word would you use as a positive way if a
to
cougar
use
is
the
after?
Word molested?
Entranced.
Entranced you. Dude, I was just entranced by this
beguiled
cougar.
Beguiled by a cougar? I don't know.
But what's like a
felt
good...
Felt up is good. That's a good phrase.
What's a good way to be molested by? Or is that just like purely
what's
bad?
Even
though you said good or bad.
So you almost got molested or you did get molested?
I don't know. All I remember is a cougar came up to me and I felt bad afterwards.
How did this cougar look like? Was it worth it or not worth it?
Dude, I had like 9 Jack and Cokes before that.
So she could have been beautiful at this point, or what?
All I remember is a blurry face. I remember just like Elijah Wood, Eternal Sunshine of Spotless Mind, like 15 eyes, and everything is upside down.
Elijah Wood, Eternal Sunshine, what face?
Yeah.
Blank face.
Yeah.
Well, you kept turning around. And they kept
see
who they are.
Why not? And then, anyways,
wait,
I wanted.
Was he in that movie?
Elijah Wood.
Yeah. Yeah.
Eternal
Sunshine of Spotless Mind.
Yeah. Yeah. He was with Kirsten Dunst.
Yeah. Spoiler alert.
Yes. Wait, well, yeah.
She's with Kate Winslet's new boyfriend.
Yeah, yeah. But they were in the real world. Yeah.
Anyways, okay. I went to the cab, and then the next morning I woke up, and I looked
in the cab.
Well, no.
Oh, I was gonna.
The next morning I woke up, and then I pulled the receipt out of my wallet, and then apparently on the way from the club to outside of the actual Bellagio, It took me another 4 Jack and Cokes. So I apparently had 4 Jack and Cokes between the club and the actual taxi line, and that was less than 200 feet.
But you don't know. That could have been someone else's Jack and Coke, though, right? Someone could have been... That cougar could have been splurging off of you.
I don't know. I would just be drink. Look.
Is that what happens? You just drink, then do you buy other people drinks?
I get very Daddy Warbucks with drinkings. But like, yeah, that happened. I mean, also the cool thing with Las Vegas is you can just walk around with a drink in your hand.
Yeah.
Just completely drunk out of your mind. It's a great place.
When Joe was in Las Vegas, we went to 7-Eleven, and he wanted just a plain old Slurpee. And then this lady started yelling at him in line. She'd be like, "What? You're just getting a plain Slurpee in Las Vegas? What?"
I was like, I love a Slurpee, bitch.
She was upset that he wasn't drinking.
Well, what's wrong with a Slurpee, man? It's blue.
I mean, when you go to, there's something that, you know, there's a disconnect between our reality and Las Vegas reality when you go to a Rite Aid and right there is like a 24-ounce jug of gin. Yeah. And right next to that is a slot machine. And right next to that is just a giant tub of free condoms.
Free?
I think it's free. Yeah, why not?
I was going to say, man, it's Vegas. It can't be free.
It's got to be free.
What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
What happens in Vegas
except
ends
for
up
when
in
Cooney
America's
tells
most, America's
story.
Most wanted.
So do you think you had a good 2010? Did it go fast for you?
Yeah, for the most part. I was surprised how fast it went. And
like, did you have any like favorite moments, not business related? Like, you're like, man, this is cool and that happened, or like the end of Lost? Did you like the end of Lost?
Don't even get me started about the end of Lost. I'm so angry about that.
I want to know about the anger about the end of Lost, because we've talked about it a little bit. I don't even think we did a review on the end of Lost. Did we do a review on the end of Lost?
I don't think we did.
Yeah, but you know what? You know,
did it make sense? Well, I guess spoiler. We can call spoiler alert ahead of time.
Okay, can I just say about the 2010? A lot of little things happened, and it took up a lot of time.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you. Just, you know, a lot of things happened, but nothing was memorable.
Yeah.
But it was just very busy.
Yeah,
so there
good.
You go. That's
progressive though. It's not like nothing happens.
I mean, it's not like I got married or some shit like that. But that would have been awesome. But
Just randomly?
You could have in
Vegas, man. Vegas.
That would have been a terrible ordeal.
What would happen? Would if that happened to you when you woke up on that moment? Well, go into your mindset. What would you do, man? Would you be like, fuck no, fuck this shit, no, I'm not staying married
Cooney,
to this woman.
Cooney, did you work on Frank and Flo?
No, he didn't work on Frank
no,
and Flo.
I don't want to work on Frank.
I didn't work
I'm,
on
I'm
Frank
gonna
and Flo.
I'm gonna say that's like that movie.
Oh yeah, let's not talk about that.
You mean what happens in Vegas?
Yeah.
Well, we're saying like hypothetically.
With Ashton Kutcher.
Hypothetically, if you, got close to that cougar and got married, what would happen after?
Would
that?
You? Would you?
I would get it annulled because that would have been an affront to God and all that is holy and nature. I'm not a religious person. But
what if you woke
at that
up?
Moment? I would be crying.
That's why on Christmas, on your Facebook, you're like happy. Wait. You said like What was it? You said Mary. Wait, you had a
happy Mary. Insert your holiday here.
You did. And I commented with
Kwanzaa.
No, I.
Somebody say Kwanzaa.
I did. Had a little lamb.
Mary had a little. That was pretty good. I don't know.
No one liked it though, so I felt like it was bad.
That actually ties into the whole like the Lost ending. Like, you remember that the Lost ending? Jack Shepard's dad was behind that.
The white doors.
Oh no, he was behind the the stained glass window with all the religions.
Yeah.
It was
and I'm like,
heavenly.
what a fucking cop out. Yeah. It's like, hey, we accept all religions. Hey, what's up?
This is what the show is really about.
Hey, come on, we were all Bruce Willis all along. Hey, what up?
Does that mean you dislike the ending?
I thought the ending was horrible because it was just like you set up all these mythologies and you set up all these science fiction and even like, you know, metaphysical questions and answers.
Yeah.
And then the fact is that, okay, great, you don't want to answer them, but you shouldn't have brought it up in the first place. You shouldn't have made it into the forefront of the show.
Yeah.
When you do that, then you have to, you're obligated to answer or at least give your own interpretation.
Yeah.
What did you think it turned
out
to be?
So how would have you ended Lost? Have you thought about that?
No, I mean, like, I don't want to, I mean, I can't live in the world of hypotheticals. I feel like if I did that, then I would just be trying to constantly create an ending in my head. This thing is just like, I mean, like, on one end, yes, I understand it's a stupid ending and I hate it, but at the same time, it's like...
It's an ending.
It's an ending, and what would I have done to make it better? I was like, whatever I would have made up in my mind would have been as equally as stupid.
You see, that's what I found with, like, a lot of stuff, like, these days, too. It's like, yeah, like, on the message boards or internet, people are always complaining about this sucks and these small things, but there's like, well, it's what you get, and there's no way to change it, and...
I know, it's like, if you're, If you're so, you know, sore about the whole thing, you know, make up your own fucking show.
Exactly. But people don't. You know what I mean? They don't even
with the $3 million budget per episode.
Yeah, per episode.
Yeah. So fuck you.
Yeah. The same budget as Red State, Kevin Smith. Yeah.
I just kind of, like, accepted the lost ending. I was just like, all right, well, that's, you know, they're the writers. They created this whole show and all the characters and everything. I was like, I guess that's how they wanted it to be, and I just accepted.
Well, it's kind of weird. Like, if you watch the first season and you watch the sixth season, there's, like, a severe jumping off point where, like, I don't know how that show that began that way ended up that way.
And yet they brought it back.
It
you
just
know
kept
what I mean?
Getting bigger and bigger and
yeah, and,
it,
and it's just like, it's like whatchamacallit, the really bloated dude on The Meaning of Life and Monty Python, The Meaning of Life.
Hurley?
have you seen that movie, Monty Python, Meaning of Life?
No, but you just said bloated guy.
Yeah. So there's this like Michael Palin or John Cleese. Somebody played this really bloated guy, and then every time he would go to a like French restaurant, they would put all this food in a trough or a pail and give it to him to eat, and constantly he would just vomit. and at the end, he would give him like wafer thin mint, and he placed it on his tongue, and the guy blew up. So I'm just saying that's what I feel like metaphorically. That's how I feel like Lost is. It's just like they kept on cramming all these characters and sub stories, and I'm like, and then they forgot to, you know, make sure that the guy had a decent bathroom break.
Yeah.
So it was just like, I'm putting like 85 years of backstory. I'm like, oh, so what about why this happened? What does this mean?
Did
like,
they answer anything? Trying to think if they answer. Even like the smoke monster thing, I didn't really. It wasn't a good payoff for me.
Spoiler alert! It's a guy.
Spoiler.
He got thrown into a cave, and the cave of mystical radiation turned him into smoke.
It doesn't sound as cool.
There's your answer. I'm sure everyone that hasn't seen Lost now is gonna run and go.
Also,
this all started because I know because I was about to buy Lost season 6 in Target today when Cooney and I were in Target. And then, like, I thought about it, and, like, you know, this has sort of actually been hanging on my head for a long time. It's like, should I buy season 6?
Wait, did you watch the show?
Yeah, I watched all of it.
We watched all of it, but we watched it in an abnormal way. We didn't watch it when it was on TV. We watched all of it the summer before the final season.
And then we watched the final season.
Yeah, wasn't it such a letdown?
But damn, were those 5 seasons awesome.
I know, but by the 5th season... But the 5th season, you're like, it turns into like time travel and shit like that,
yeah.
And you're like,
the Faraday stuff.
And you're like, do I really want to get into this?
And then the sideways, and then the.
I feel like we already installed like so much of our summer just like watching it that we had to finish it.
Yeah. Here's the thing with me too. Like, imagine me who started when the first episode aired in 2003.
2003.
Yeah.
That was 2003.
You went through all like the.
So you have reason to be
strike.
Pissed.
I know.
Because you went through the writer's strike and everything.
Yeah, I went through 7 years of like, what does the island do? It's like, oh, the island is just a giant water plug. And then the plug creates radiation energy.
I forgot that that's what it was.
And that creates orange light, and orange light gives you magical powers. I'm like, what the fuck is this shit? Fuck you. And then it's like, the first season, Jack looked at the two skeletons like, oh, this must be like 135 years old. And he finds out that it's like, what was the island's keeper? What was his name? Jacob?
Yeah,
it was Jacob's adopted mother and his real twin brother. And I'm like, okay, so they were the island's been mystically existing since 135 years ago. That doesn't make any sense. Like, the chronology is all wrong. Also, how did Jack end up determining how old the skeletons were? I mean, did he break a bone and count the rings inside the bone?
Like a tree.
So,
like
do you think the best like way tree. The best way to enjoy Lost is just to just.
You just gotta suspend your belief.
I almost think the best way to enjoy Lost is just per random episode. Just take the one episode for what it is.
I think you would actually have more enjoyment out of that
like,
than you would.
Like each one is just a standalone for
because
what it is.
Like a create your own story thing?
Yeah.
Choose your own adventure. Yeah.
Choose your own adventure Lost.
Choose your own
does Jack
adventure
go
Lost.
Into the cabin or does he go fight a polar
bear? Actually,
there?
That would be really fun because someone should make that if they... It would be hard to get the rights and all that, but they should do that because that's pretty much how kind of the show was.
I did like the idea of the Dharma Initiative, though.
Can every ending be like when they die and they choose the wrong choice at the ending? Can it all end with somebody getting mauled by a polar bear?
Or a boar. Did everyone die from a boar? Yeah, someone died from a boar.
No one died from a boar. No one died from a polar bear either. There was only one polar bear on the island. I'm like, come on.
Dude, that was the one thing that got me hooked. Is like, what the fuck is this polar boy? It's like, what is this bear doing
here? I want more bears. I want more
polar
bears.
The thing that like started getting me excited about watching it was like, first of all, when I first watched it, the first maybe five episodes was like kind of difficult for me because there's so many in the cast.
Yeah.
Like, there was, because you had to know everyone's names, and like, for me, like, it's hard to just jump in and know, like, at least 15 people, you know?
Well, also, the first season had the added benefit of having two things.
You
that
got
kind
to
of,
know them.
Yes,
at the
it's,
same part.
It was a character study, character mm-hmm. drama first.
Yeah.
Then it became a sci-fi adventure drama second. And then somehow along the way, it just became a sci-fi adventure, and it eventually became some sort of weird mystical adventure, and eventually became the ending to, you know, weird things.
Some spiritual
enlightenment.
Yeah.
But I guess like what started getting me like really pumped for it was like the numbers and like why they had to type that in, and then once they had what's his face Desmond down there, I was like, oh shit, Desmond. You know, like I really liked finding out about Desmond.
Did you ever play the online game?
No.
We didn't get that.
Our fandom of Lost started in the summer with the episodes, so we didn't
like,
even get on anything beyond
like
that.
In the online game, they actually explained what the numbers are.
Really? What are the numbers?
It was actually a mathematical equation developed by this Italian mathematician that actually created a physiological chaos thing. It was very like metaphysical, but it actually explained that it actually was a source of mathematical error that created some sort of weird electromagnetic thing that caused bad things to happen.
That would've been great to know from the show.
Yeah, and also they have they have Hanzo, what was his name? Hanzo? The Hanzo Foundation?
Oh yeah, yeah, the
wait,
the
what's
one
this?
The people who were in charge of Dharma, right?
Yeah, but
the Asian guy.
The doctor guy.
Yeah.
Or the, I don't know what he was, but the dad.
The guy on the camera.
The dad of that other guy.
No,
I like how we're describing the dad of
the Norwegian guy that founded the Dharma Initiative.
Was he the Asian guy?
No,
that was
no.
In the videos?
No, he was just the guy that was in charge of all that shit.
God damn.
But like,
see, I don't know this part now.
The benefactor, the Hanzo?
Yeah, yeah.
The Hanzo Foundation?
Yeah, yeah.
Anyways, they had him in the online game, and he didn't age because of the electromagnetism. Or he drank from the fountain or whatever.
Yeah.
The magical fountain. And then, it explained a lot of shit. And I'm like, why didn't they explain that in the show?
The actual show.
Yeah.
The source.
Yeah.
Maybe they wanted it to
know,
be like
man.
That. Maybe they wanted the fans to get like so into it that they would discover stuff from the website.
Yeah,
stuff.
That's the one thing that I noticed while I was...
Like,
when
maybe
I was,
they wanted this extra world like outside the TV show.
Can I just get information from the TV? Like normal people?
Because that happens.
I don't want to invest my time and effort on that.
Because so many people, like, apparently, from what I've heard, there's, like, all these Lost podcasts and this and that. And, like, people just fed off of it, and, like, they wanted to know every little secret.
It's like weird mass hysteria. It's like sometimes, you know, or sometimes it's simple as, like, hey, the polar bears were there because they wanted to create some sort of, experiment, and then experiment made it so that polar bears were habitable in that area.
I still don't even know why the polar bears were there. I didn't really find out.
They were conducting environmental experiments or something like that.
I always thought like...
And then the polar bears are left over there.
Maybe they needed the polar bears to determine why there couldn't be any more babies born on the island.
I always thought the polar bears came from... Because, you know, didn't they go into a tunnel?
Women couldn't get pregnant.
And then they're like not time traveling, but like they're like transporting each other. Because one time, isn't like cold down there? And I don't know. I fucked up with the logic. I don't know what the logic was. I just wanted to know.
I just don't want to end up like, you know, three guys in the basement in the dark talking about the Matrix. You know, about the philosophy of the Matrix.
See, the same thing that happened with them. With Lost happened with like even in comic books where even the DC universe had Final Crisis where... You know, you have your same storyline, but they had so many of all these also offshoots of the storyline that were pivotal to the storyline, like that happened in other books. But if you didn't read it, if you didn't read those other books, you wouldn't know what happened in the next. You know, see what I'm saying? Like, you sort of have this one main track of storyline, but things are happening that are affecting the main storyline that people don't read because it's happening in other books. It's bullshit.
Yeah, I don't care about that. Sometimes if I want to read a story, okay, as much as I enjoy a Dickinsonian epic, you know, as much as I enjoy that, sometimes I just want it to be in one form, one book, one track.
Yeah.
I don't want it to be, like, whether it be a book, a TV, a show, even a movie series, whatever. I don't want it to, I'm okay if they refer to many things, if they make, you know, if they refer to things, or if they, you know, add information from previous things, but it has to be in a way that's accessible to me.
Yeah.
Because I don't take the fucking time to read all these side stories. I fucking don't.
Really, I think what it comes down to is, like, you know, the majority of the audience wants to sit there in their, they want to sit there in their comfortable chair and they want to be entertained directly in front of their face and not have to, like, get up and go somewhere.
You know what, though?
Like a scavenger hunt.
I think for the most part...
But people do. Some people do.
I think for the most part what you guys are saying, like, you know, if you watch a show, you should just watch a show and be entertained by the show. Like, I get that. But then, also, I feel like the creators and the writers of Lost, maybe they just wanted to create something that people will be talking about forever. Like, we're still talking about it. There's gotta be, like, a little gem to that, though. You know, like, they've gotta be, like, in their head being like, haha, they're still talking about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but are they are they happy or proud that we're talking about it in such a negative and angry way?
But see, they're not even talking about it either. Like, the what's his, Dennis Lindelof, is that how you pronounce his last?
Damon Lindelof?
Yeah.
Lindelof?
Like, they're not
Carlton
even,
Cruz?
Yeah, they're not even.
Cruz?
Yeah, that name's easier to pronounce than
that. Anyways,
but they're not even talking about the show either.
Yeah, I think they were just like, by the end, when they wrote the ending, they were like, we gotta fucking finish this.
Yeah.
I gotta finish this.
Okay, somehow
let me out
if
of here.
You can imagine, like, what if you created, like, that huge world and it's, like, so freaking humongous and you get that many people watching your show every whatever, you know, every new episode on TV and you get that much of an audience, like, you know, like, there's got to be part of their brain that's like, ha ha ha, I got them.
You know,
like,
what should have happened?
And like I'm going to make, and I'm going to throw this into the bot and this into the bot. Like, they were talking about how they're feeding that guy and he kept throwing up.
Yeah.
Like, they just kept throwing stuff at the audience. And, like, you know that they're having fun with that.
I remember I tried to get Brian into watching Lost. And so Brian told me the story about he was watching like episode 6, and then his housemate Jessica walked in and then was like, oh, you're watching Lost? Dude, you should just stop watching right now, because later on it doesn't mean shit. None of this stuff means anything.
It really doesn't.
But it's like
at this moment you realize this is hell. You're in hell. You can't get out of it. You spent 7 years of your life watching this thing and you just realized that it all imploded.
But the thing is like, I don't know how it would have, like, properly ended. So then it's like,
here's my proper ending. Okay, Jack dies, it pulls out, island, pulls out, there's Earth, pulls out, there's a solar system, pulls out, there's a universe, pulls out, and it turns out to a comfortable piece of paper, pulls out, turns out to be a trash can. It pulls out, and J.J. Abrams taking a piss on it, and taking a gas lighter, and then lighting that whole fucking thing on fire. Yeah.
And then it pulls out even further, and there's a holocaust of people who just watch the show.
Yeah, they're all dancing, and they're all wearing Nazi uniforms, and it's like, this is hell.
But they're all dancing to that end song, to the Empire, not the Empire, but the Return of the Jedi, at the end of Return of the Jedi.
The Ewok song, the Ewok celebration song. I don't even know how the song.
Oh my God.
Has what TV show actually ended on a note that you were happy about?
Proud note.
That you're really happy about? Even you, Carolyn. You too, after Cooney.
I haven't really watched, like, full-on shows like that.
Actually, I do. I mean, okay, I'll be honest with you.
Is it MASH? It's probably MASH.
when I was in high school,
Golden Girls.
I'm giving her a look of pure disgust right now.
I like the narration.
But
we
like,
we should narrate every fish.
But like when I was in high school, I mean,
well, you're like, well, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, well, I was
waiting for a Golden Girl.
I'm still a dork, but I was even more of a dork back in high school, and I was really into anime.
Warriors.
I'm Japanese. I'm first generation Japanese here, immigrated here. So there's already, you know, like a preconceived notion of me loving anime. I mean, it's Japanese animation.
Yeah.
And then there was a show called Neon Genesis Evangelion that was shown from like 1996 to 1995 and came to the United States like 97, 98, 99. So they had a 26 episode series, half an hour each. And it was crazy because at the beginning of the show, it was like this young lone boy who was in charge of a giant mechanical monster and saved the world from monsters called angels or whatever. And then it's kind of cool because throughout the series, you find out that like the mechanical robot that he's in charge of, his mom's soul got trapped inside of it, and it turned out to be like not really a mechanical robot, but like a half organic thing, and the half organic thing was actually made from the flesh of a god.
What?
Yeah. And then the angels they're fighting is they're actual angels from heaven come to destroy Earth, and then it happened in this like alternate universe where year 2000 resulted in a thing called Second Impact, Second Big Bang, that resulted in half of the Earth being covered in Red Sea, like literally like red water, almost like blood. And then you know, it's this really horrifying world that they created, and it becomes this really, really damaging psychological thing where half the movies, like half the TV show, is like cut scenes from previous episodes, all like negative polarized, yeah, and overlapped, and becomes a David Lynch kind of like weird adventure.
Yeah, but it's just anime.
Yeah, it's an anime, but at the end, everyone dies. Everyone turns into primordial ooze. At the end, realize one of the female characters that he's kind of infatuated with is a reincarnated clone of his mom, and they fuck each other.
What?
Yeah.
God, anime is awesome.
I know. Oh my God. I know. But anyways, and then at the end,
they didn't make love. They fucked each other.
Well, they were like joined at the groin when they were talking. It's really fucked up.
Wait.
What?
You gotta watch it, dude. It's really fucked up. Just so you'd be like,
what is the name of this so the world knows?
Neon Genesis Evangelion. I'm telling these things sporadically so that they don't really work in order. But I don't know.
Oh, I thought that was the end. Is that like they had sex?
No, the end. No. That's like the first hour of a 2-hour movie that capped the whole series off.
Like
the first 5 minutes of the movie, that kind of is like the ending, yeah, of the entire series, is the main character watching his comatose teammate / co-pilot of another robot in a coma, and then he's like trying to wake her up, and then she's not waking up, and he pulls her aside, and her gown becomes unloose, and you just see her bare breasts. Granted, they're both 14, 15 years old, okay?
That's how they love that shit, yeah, don't they?
and then instead of covering her up, you know what he does?
What does he do?
He masturbates to her chest. And then he comes in his hands, and then it cuts to a close-up of his hand covered in cum. And he just says in whisper tone, "I'm fucked up," and it shows the title for the movie. Right afterwards, it cuts to the title of the movie.
When was this made?
This was made in 98.
God, this is revolutionary stuff.
Wow.
So that ended on a proper note? They show this on TV?
No, it was in the movie theaters.
I thought that Joe asked you what TV show ended in a proper way.
But I'm just saying that they... Well, thing is that they ended up in a proper way that was very hopeful. That was like a...
Wait, that wasn't the end, right? Or was it the end?
No, that was the title sequence.
Oh, that was the title sequence?
Coming in the hand?
Seeing boobs, animated boobs, and coming in the hand?
That was a prologue that started the title sequence of the movie.
That was the teaser?
That was the teaser. Literally. But I'm just saying that...
Can you imagine us writing that in the room?
Like, they're like, you saw that, now wait for more.
Yeah, is this stuff that they do a lot of in Japan, man?
No, dude. I mean, like, usually the stuff is really cut and dry.
Do they have a rating system in Japan?
They do have a rating system in Japan. I just, like, R something, R13, restricted 13, yeah, restricted 15, restricted 18, like R12, R10, something like that. But it's all R. That's R for restricted.
So everything's R no matter what.
Yeah, but it's R/ and they say whatever.
The number of age you can be.
Yeah, R dashes, which slash is what? Slash is horizontal, / is diagonal.
Yes.
/ is diagonal, right?
Yes.
Okay, it's R/10.
Yeah.
Or like a hyphen.
So what I'm saying is that ended off in a way that was satisfactory to me, because they actually had an unsatisfactory ending, which was like a mental interpretation of what the main character was going through in the last two episodes.
Yeah.
But now they decided, hey, you know what? We're just going to show you what really happened out of his mind.
So like the real world?
The real world shit.
Yeah.
And real world shit is terrifying. I mean, it's like the it's the most violent, vile, disgusting thing. It's almost like they were like, the creators were like, you know what? We gave you a satisfying ending. We didn't want to tell you what the fuck happened. Do you really want to know what happened? Here's the ending. There you go. Fuck you. It was just like,
here you go. Fuck you.
It was just pretty much. Also, it had a really cool backstory how the show was made, because the main director, the creative director, the executive producer of the show, yeah, was going through like a really bad depression, and he just got out himself out of a cult, and he was taking on these Judeo-Christian mythology stuff he learned in cults, stuff he wanted to exercise himself out with his family, with his dad,
yeah,
dad issues, mom issues, and put it all into a fucking show about a kid and a giant robot.
I think that actually, you know, that works, man.
I'm just saying, it's a really fucked up show, but that kind of helped shape me in terms of like, oh, this is interesting. Things can go outside the box in a really tremendous way.
Yeah.
And I feel like that was the most satisfying thing for an ending for me, because it was just such an unorthodox ending.
But it's also like, where else is left to go?
Because you can't. It's the end of the world. you killed everyone off. Everyone turned into primordial ooze. Everyone turned into primordial. All the souls got sucked into a giant egg.
Now, what egg? What exactly was the ooze?
It was an LCL. It was actually like this conduit that
it was
connected.
The cum?
It was like, it was the cum of Earth. It was God's cum.
God's cum. That's twice we talked about God's cum today.
But I feel like that's what it resulted in. And I'm just like, wow, that is fucked up.
This is subtitled, right?
Yes.
All right.
Oh, it can be dubbed too.
Or it'd be dubbed.
You're like, I'm gonna check this out.
I gotta see what the hell this is.
Joe and I, this girl like came to one of our events, and she was like, you need to watch Bra and Panties or whatever. What was it?
It was like, yeah, it was
something
an animated TV
panties
show. I was like, so what type of show are you into, girl?
She, yeah, we're like asking her stuff that she liked, and it's something like, what is it called? Something in panties?
It was like
Bra and Panties or something.
Yeah, it was like.
Do you know about it, Cooney? I don't know. I didn't check it out, but Joe sent me a link to it.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing.
That's what I noticed. Usually, whenever a person normally describes like an anime, it usually sounds like she describes, like, yeah, so these girls, they fight, and then they take off their panties, and they become weapons, and they take off the bra, and it becomes like a whip, and they fight crime and stuff like that. And then I was like, wow, this is some kinky-ass shit that this girl is talking about.
And she's like 14 or something.
14, 13. I was like, are you sure you should be watching this? Sounds like
no,
a little dirty.
No, she should not be watching this.
But then when I watched it, it was probably the most, like, almost like SpongeBob SquarePants-looking anime, goofy looking thing I've ever seen in my life. Yeah. There's nothing sexual about it.
Really?
Just happens. Well, I don't know.
Well,
could have been.
Here's the thing. It's just, you know, the thing about that is just like the anime thing is, it's so weird that, I don't know, it was just craze and people started loving it and then people started getting obsessed with it. And then for a little while, I kind of got obsessed with it too, because mainly because I saw that show and I was just like, that's a great show.
Yeah.
I want to see more of it like that.
Exactly.
So I will kind of scour.
Gateway drug to that.
Yeah, yeah. I will scour trying to find something that will affect me mentally as much as that did. Is the music stopped?
No. This means we have.
Okay.
It means we have like a couple minutes left in the show.
Oh, shit. All right. Well, I guess we got to stop talking now.
No, we don't. No. We just keep talking.
Keep
because
going.
It actually totally makes sense now that you were impacted by that, because in one of the first films I've ever seen you make was the I don't even know the title of it.
Dildo one?
Yeah. But there was a double dildo one with the spikes on it.
What?
Yeah.
I don't think I saw this film.
That was actually very much influenced by me trying to copy like the extreme Asian cinema.
What was the plot of that?
I don't even remember.
Was someone like trying to,
what was it, like they were involved raped and it was like me.
Yeah, because you were, I forgot, yeah, you were in there.
I know.
That actually makes it a lot weirder now.
Wait, you
raped awesome.
No,
he got
film?
Raped.
I was raped.
He got raped
what?
On
yeah.
the film
on
with
film?
The with the spiked.
Yeah.
No, but see,
oh my
no,
God.
No, but what I'm saying is when we describe it, it's just like an anime. It's a little bit different than when you watch it. You know what I mean? It's like, it turns out a lot, like when you describe it, when you describe something, people have a different vision, but when you actually watch it, it's a little bit, it's a lot different.
Well,
that's
like
how that's how we end the show.
Is this how we're gonna end the show? Really?
I don't know. Yes. We can say something happy. Oh, happy New Year, everybody!
From this is terrible.
Carolyn and Joe.
This is how it's gonna end.
In the crazy Cooney Christmas.
What a horrible way to go out on. Now I'm labeled this deviant, sexual deviant.
Now we turn into this the pivotal. What is it? The ooze of life.
God's come.
God's come.
No, we're not turning into God's come.
Please don't think of me as a horrible human
being.
Don't
be judging.
Yeah.
Don't judge.
Don't judge Cooney. Cooney is an awesome human being.
I'm good peoples.
He is good peoples. He has good people skills. Well, there you go. I hope everyone has a good year. It was an awesome 2010. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
And this is Cooney. Oh my God, we're going to burn in hell.
Everyone have a good night. We'll see you all next year. Sunday.
Is this really our last show of the year?
It is.
Oh, my
God. Oh, you guys doing another show on Sunday?
I don't know. Well, there you go.
I'll be here this weekend.
Maybe. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Hell.